Hello, church family. Welcome to Church News. My name's Ava.
And I'm Caleb.
And we are so glad that you're here with us today. Caleb, what do we got coming up?
Have you decided to follow Jesus but don't know what your next step is? Well, your next step is water baptism. Water baptism is a way that you show that you have committed your life to following Christ. It is an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. So for more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center and they will help you out there. We can't wait to take this next step with you.
Here at Only Believe, we believe in the power of prayer. And that is why we do First Saturday prayer at the beginning of each month. This 1 hour prayer service consists of worship, an encouraging word, corporate prayer, and personal prayer. So let's align our hearts with what the Lord wants to do in us and through us in the coming months. We cannot wait to see you there for First Saturday prayer.
Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. We've been traveling across America for the last 25 years doing seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We're coming to your church. God has a great plan for you and your family, and we're going to help you get there. You do not want to miss it. It's going to be a fun time. See you soon.
Join us for Healing Night on September 21st at 6 p.m. This will be a powerful evening of prayer, faith, and restoration. So expect miracles as we gather together in unity, believing that God will move in a powerful way. And you can begin praying now, praying for open hearts and for lives to be changed. Whether you're standing in the gap for someone or whether you're believing for a miracle yourself, we believe this service is for you. So come expecting, come ready, and come believing.
Are you thinking about becoming a member of Only Believe? Well, we want to invite you to Growth Track, held on the first Sunday of each month, right after church service. Growth Track helps you discover the ins and outs of Only Believe, the history and the vision behind it, and you get to learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them to make a difference. And it is the perfect opportunity to join the Only Believe family. You can sign up by scanning the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and they'll get you all signed up out there. And there's lunch and childcare provided. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
A simple invite card could change someone's life. Our invite cards make it super easy to invite people who you don't know or who God leads you to invite to church for the very first time. So grab an invite card on the pew next to you or head out to the lobby to grab an invite card there. You never know what an invite card can do to change someone's life. And as always, for more information or if you have any questions, you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and our team will do the best they can to help you out there. Now, let's prepare our hearts and minds as we get ready for today's message.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. Yeah, my name's Pastor Tim. I'm the youth pastor. If you're new to here today, I just want to welcome you. We're so glad you're here. And I hope that after today, you'll want to come back. For those of you here Wednesday night, it is possible for me to walk out and not mess anything up beforehand. So that's a Wednesday night joke. You got to be here. You got to be here. Before we get into the message today, I want to remind everyone and thank everyone who participated in our 7 days of prayer. We spent 7 days specifically coming together as a body to pray for lost people. And we had many, many people participate here in the service. We know that many of you participated from home. And by my estimation, if each one of us put 10 names on those cards, we prayed for literally hundreds of people to come to Jesus. And what we want to do as a church is not give up on that. We want to continue to pray until we see this come to fruition. And then as a church, on October 5th, we're actually going to be designating that service to really just preach the gospel in the simplest way possible. And so we want to encourage you to invite those people that you've been praying for. Continue to pray for them. Continue to pray that God opens their hearts to the gospel. But make sure you're inviting them to that October 5th Sunday morning service, because we're believing God we're going to see a harvest come in that day. Amen? Amen. Would you guys with me real quick, would you just stand up for a moment and just pray with me? Father, I just come before you and I ask you to just baptize this sanctuary in your glory. Father, we want to feel the weight of your presence today. God, we want you to come and have your way in our lives. God, we want to believe what you speak, Lord. We want to know that it's truth. And so today, Father, I ask you to give us eyes to see what you're doing in our lives, in our church, in our communities. Give us ears to hear what you're speaking to us as individuals, to our church, to our communities, Father. Give us hearts, God, that are obedient, minds that understand, feet that are quick to go where you lead, and hands that are quick to serve and to love. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. We've been in a series called The Church Defined, and Pastor Nicole and Pastor Randy have been doing a great job of leading us into this series, just trying to give us all a solid foundation of what exactly is the church. Well, the church is not a building. It's not the pews. It's the church is the people who have believed and confessed faith in Jesus and are following him. That is the church. We gather in a building, and this happens all around the world, which is amazing. We learned that in the church, God has established what we call the fivefold ministry. There are these key positions of leadership that God has put in the church. There, the Bible actually says they're his gift to the church. That's pastors, teachers, prophet, evangelists, and apostles. And they're here to build up the church so that you may be equipped to go and do every good work. And so that's kind of what Pastor Nicole kind of talked about. I'm really paraphrasing 2 weeks worth of messages. And then Pastor Randy last week talked about how we're meant to be out in the world, participators with the gospel and what God is doing. He quoted that we don't want to be the kind of church that if we ever closed our doors, and we're not planning to, but if we ever did, that the community would actually be like, where did they go? What happened? We miss them. We want to have noticeable impact in our communities. That's what we're after. And so today what I'm going to do is hopefully I'm going to come and explain why we're a church on mission. A church on mission. And to do this, we're going to really look at a little bit of what Jesus's mission was, and then I really want to just inspire your faith today. That's my goal. I want to inspire you. I want you to leave here amped up for Jesus, ready to go and change the world. And I'm going to make that really, really small, hopefully. I don't want you to leave here going, how am I supposed to change the world? I want you to see your part in it. Because it's the whole church's job to change the world, and we each have a part in it. Amen? Yes. Amen. All right. So, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, we're going to start off in verse 18. Now, this is what is known in church circles, and if you've been around the church for a while, I hope that you've heard this phrase. What we're going to read is what's known as the Great Commission, the Great Commission. What is this about? It's about Jesus, who had a mission, and he is giving us a mission. We're in co-mission with Jesus, and he's kind of laying this out for his disciples. This is what he's after. This is what Jesus wants. And this is after Jesus has died. He's been crucified, but he's been buried and raised back to life. And he's about to ascend into heaven to be by the Father. And he says this, Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus wants his disciples, his followers, and I know you're going, this isn't new, but just bear with me. Jesus wants his disciples to go out and make more disciples of Jesus. Yep. Jesus is very intentional and specific about what success looks like for his followers. Success looks like making more followers of Jesus. Just going out and reproducing the faith in other people's lives. The question I want to answer today is, what will it look like for his disciples to take the gospel to the whole world? And the good news is that Jesus has given us previous examples of what this looks like to be sent out into the world. In Matthew chapter 9, if you would turn there, you're going to have to flip your Bible a lot today or scroll in your Bible, however you're doing it. Or you can just look at the screen. Either way. In Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35, we read this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. I want to read it again. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. I want to read it one more time, because I don't think we're hearing it right. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now listen, as we read this, listen, I'm just going to be real honest. As we read this, there's one of two reactions are probably happening. Either you're really new to the church, or maybe you've never really heard about Jesus, and you're hearing this verse and you're going, so you're telling me this guy went all around proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, teaching people how to live into that kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Amen. And your response to that may be, that's incredible. That's absolutely amazing. You're telling me that there was a guy who lived, who everywhere he went, he taught people how to live into God's kingdom, proclaimed the good news, and then he healed every sickness and disease. Wow! That is so awesome. And I say, yes, it is. And listen, we're not unfamiliar with being awestruck by people who do amazing things. This isn't new to us. In fact, I'd like to share with you a story about this time I was with someone who was awestruck by somebody who could do something amazing. Her name's Shekinah. She said, just wave at everybody, Shekinah, in case they don't know who you are. Shekinah. Shekinah and I have been friends for a long time, and when we were much younger, I think I was either my senior year or just graduated, I was real good friends with the family, and we went to a Family Force 5 concert. Don't judge us, all right, it was a different time. But we were at this concert, and we were big fans, but Shekinah was what you would call a super fan. And we're in the crowd, and I'm not going to bring her up here because that'd be too embarrassing, but she's short, all right? She's short. So we're in the crowd, and she literally can't see anything, and I'm kind of tall, so she asked me if I would, like, hold her up. So she got on my back so that she could see. And at one point, the lead singer, his stage name was Soul Glow Activator. Oh my God. Don't judge us, it was a different time.
Way different time.
But at one point in his performance, I believe, this was my perception, he was just randomly pointing across the crowd, but Shekinah perceived that he pointed directly at her. And in that moment, she was so awestruck that she just literally tightened up and started choking me. And she held that grip for a very long time. And I was trying to and she wasn't getting it. I believe I actually had to pinch her to get her to loosen her grip. And I was like, can't breathe. What happened to that moment? She was awestruck. Right? She was awestruck. We're not strangers to this. And so when Jesus is doing his thing, the correct response is to be awestruck. This is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, we've never seen anything like this. This is radical. Right? And then there's another response, which is the one of the skeptic. And to be honest with you, if you read through the Gospels, what you're going to discover, and I hope this gives you a little bit of comfort, is that the Gospel authors are very honest with us, and they don't say everyone who saw the miracles believed.
Right.
The gospel authors let us know that there are some people that even though they see all of the goodness and all of the awesomeness of Jesus, that their hearts are still hesitant to believe. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. So I just want you to know, if you're here today and maybe you're new and you're just trying to figure this out and you're trying to learn more about Jesus and you're not sure you've bought in yet, I just want you to know the Bible gives space for you too. And I just want to encourage you to keep coming and checking it out. Because I believe that if you just hear enough and you see enough, eventually your heart's going to be convinced that Jesus is who he said he is. But Jesus is amazing, and the first thing that we have to do if we're going to be a church on mission is, church, we've got to reclaim that awe and that wonder at the absolute authority and power and awesomeness of Jesus. This is who he is. This is what he does. Amen? But then we get to the next verse. Verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus is out doing the good work, but then he looks and he says, man, these people are harassed and helpless. What do I need? I need more workers. I need more workers. And so then he looks to his disciples, the ones who have already made the commitment to follow, and he says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. What's Jesus after? More workers. Now I want to show you something really cool. Would you turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 23? Jeremiah chapter 23. What I need you to understand as we go here for context is that throughout the Old Testament, God raised up leaders for the nation of Israel. And just so you know, in case you're new, the nation of Israel was God's chosen people. They were the ones called by God to be like his example in the world. They were supposed to be his godly kingdom, representing his goodness to all other nations. And in doing so, all other nations would see the goodness of God and come to believe in him. That was the idea. And God appointed leaders, this came in the form of judges, kings, prophets, and priests, to lead the people in this lifestyle and to care for the people. That was their role. And the prophets oftentimes, and not just the prophets, Moses actually is the first place that we see this happen, where the leaders of Israel, whether that would have been the judges, the priests, the prophets, or the kings, they would have been referred to as shepherds, which gives us a little bit of God's heart for what leadership looks like. Right? It looks like a shepherd. The problem is they're terrible. They're absolutely awful at their job. In fact, most of the time as you read, there are some bright, shining moments in very few of their lives. But overall, these guys are terrible. They're awful. They actually hurt the sheep. They use the sheep to benefit themselves and at the sheep's expense. Like, it's not good. And so the prophets that we read in the Old Testament, God is using the prophets to call out most often the leaders themselves. Now, he will send prophets to call out the nation as a whole or other nations, but primarily, you go and you read the prophets, they're calling out the leadership. Jeremiah 23 is one of these places where God is speaking through one of his prophets, and this is what he says, starting in verse 1. He says, woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. So God, there's an accountability. I want you to hear this. This is really important. There's an accountability on the shepherds' lives. And that still holds true today. Those fivefold ministry gifts that Pastor Nicole and Pastor Randy's other pastors, prophets teach, there is an accountability that they carry to shepherd souls well. And we will be held accountable before God for how we did it. Yeah? So that's still in place. But what I want to show you is God's looking at these people and he's going, you guys are a bunch of failures. You're not doing what I want you to do. In fact, you're doing the exact opposite of it. And here's where we get this awesome promise from the Lord. He says, I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. What's happening? God's saying, these guys that I'm appointing, they're not doing the job. You know what's going to fix this? If I myself come and shepherd my own people. And then the next question we should be asking is, how's that going to happen? What will that look like for God Himself to come and shepherd His people? I've got really good news for you. It looks like God becoming human. See, God wraps Himself in human flesh in the incarnation, in the birth of Jesus. God becomes flesh. And what is God made flesh in Jesus the Son? What's He going to do? Well, in John 10, verse 11, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. You go read it, He says, I'm the good shepherd who lays down His life for my sheep. He's the kind of shepherd we need. The one who is here to not benefit Himself, but to live His life and to sacrifice His life as a ransom for many. He's the shepherd we've always needed. And He showed up in Jesus. And so we want to look to Jesus. And so when Jesus, isn't it so cool that God through Jeremiah says, you worthless shepherds have scattered my sheep and hurt my sheep. And what do we see Jesus doing in Matthew 9? He's going to all the towns and villages and He's bringing healing and He's proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom and He's teaching them how to live into that kingdom. Jesus is doing what God said He would do. Amen? But here's where it's getting real cool. Because after He says He's going to do this and restore, by the way, He's going to restore the blessing. He says, when I do this, they'll be fruitful and increase in number. What is that? That's the Genesis blessing. Why did God create humanity? So that we could be fruitful and multiply and rule and reign over His creation in partnership with Him. So He's going to bring us back to that place. But then look, He says, I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing. Jesus has already fulfilled the second part. We just read it. He's going through all the towns and villages. If we've read the prophetic word, what's the next thing we should see Jesus doing? Raising up shepherds. Who will do the work, but the right way. Yeah? Let's go back. Here we go. Matthew 9:35. When Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Awesome. Jesus is the man. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. What? This is crazy. We didn't hear that right. I need a volunteer. For real, I need a volunteer. Come on up here, Joseph. This is insanity. This is the wildest thing I've ever read in the Bible. Joseph's here and he's been following Jesus. And everywhere Jesus goes, he's like, man, everywhere Jesus goes, he's like proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He's teaching people how to live in the kingdom. And he's healing every sickness and disease. I mean, there's literally nothing Jesus can't heal. And then Jesus looks at him and says, your turn, buddy, I'm tagging you in. Now we've got two responses to this. The first response is, all right, let's go. The second response is, oh no, you've got the wrong guy. You've got the wrong guy. I'm not you, Jesus. You're right, you're not. And so Joseph's special, right? Joseph was one of the 12. Yeah? That could be our argument. We could say, well, God, sure, Jesus chose the 12. He called those boys apostles. They're special. And so He sent them out. Yeah, that makes sense. They were His closest people. Of course He sends them out to do the exact same works that He did. Joseph, stay right here. I'd like to raise you something here.
All right.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to be real honest. I'm going off my notes back there, Karen. I'm so sorry. I'm not following it at all. So.
Got a nice view up here.
Yeah, it is a nice view. Look at all these beautiful people. So in Luke chapter 10, in case you thought it was just for the 12, Luke chapter 10 verse 1, after the Lord appointed 72 others, And he sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, it's going to sound familiar, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into his harvest field. So now we got the 12, and we go, that makes sense. It should be the 12. I need another volunteer to represent the 72. Come on up here, Ron.
All right, Ron, let's do this.
You're going to love what happens next. So in case you thought the 12 were special, now Jesus has taken 72 people, and he's sending them out, guess what, to do the exact same thing. Down in verse 9, he says this to the 72, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. It's the same mission. It's the exact same thing. What does it look like for the church to be on mission? Well, we get one example with the 12, and we go, that's great for the 12. They're awesome. And then Jesus is like, in case you miss it, I'm going to do it with 72 more. And you're going, okay, but those 72, they probably were really close with Jesus too. Right? They probably really walked with Jesus a lot. And so they get it, like they got something. You know, Jesus looked at these guys and he said, I give you power and authority. He looked at the 12, I give you power and authority to go and do this. You want to know what he does with the 72? In Luke 10, verse 19, we read this. He says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And in case you're wondering about this, snakes and scorpions are just representative of spiritual evil. Mm-hmm. So he looks at the 72 and he says, guess what I've given you boys? The same thing I gave these boys.
That's right.
So get out there and do the work.
That's right.
Well, that's pretty wild. And now we're going, all right, we've got 72 plus 12. My math is 84 people. We got 84 people who can actually do what Jesus did. I'll raise you another one.
That's right. That's right.
Matthew 28. Mm-hmm. Now I need everybody to stand up.
All right.
That's you it. Thought you were going to get out of it, but you're not. That's I need awesome. Everybody to stand up.
That's right. Speaking the truth right here, brother.
Matthew 28. 18 through 20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Guess what? That's for everyone.
That's right, man. That's right.
That's for everyone. He says, go make disciples, and then guess what? When you've made disciples, guess what those disciples are going to go? Go do more. They're just going to make more disciples. None of us get out of it. None of us get out of it. The 12 were awesome. The 72 were awesome.
Yeah.
You know what's the most awesome thing is that Jesus will take you.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome.
It started small, but look at what Jesus is all about. He's like, we're going global with this thing. 72 and 12 won't do it. I need everyone in part of it. Yeah? Amen? Give it up for these two guys. They did a great job. Go grab a seat. Thank you, guys. I got you, Joseph. Thank you, guys. What I need you to see, what I need you to know, is that like you are everything you need to be in Jesus to do the work.
Yes.
And if you're wondering, what does it look like for me to live on mission? It looks like that. Just go out and teach people. When, where, how? I don't know. Anytime a door opens for you to.
Hallelujah.
When you're at work, listen, I'm just telling you what, this ain't hard. It's really not hard. You know what it is? It's just one simple act of courage. That's all it is. Do you think the 12 weren't terrified out of their like skin when Jesus looked at them and said, hey, you boys been seeing what I've been doing? Go. In fact, I mean, if you just want to be real about it, and when Jesus sends the 72 out, Luke says that Jesus looks at him, he's like, I'm sending you out, go and make disciples. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, so get out there and get working. Oh, by the way, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves.
Yeah, right.
Well, thanks, Jesus, I appreciate that. That's how I felt like going and being somebody's lunch today. What's it about, though? Can you look at your neighbor and say, see-do? See-do. See-do. How do I live on mission for Jesus? What I see, I do. It's that easy. What I see, I do. You know what the 12 disciples, apostles did when Jesus sent them out? The exact same thing they saw Jesus do. They didn't do anything different. Jesus went out proclaiming the kingdom of God. Guess what they did? They went out proclaiming the kingdom of God, that it was good news, that it has come near to people. They taught people exactly what, they didn't make it up. They literally took what Jesus was teaching and they went and taught the same exact thing. And then when they encountered the sick, they laid their hands on them and they prayed for healing to come. Here's what's really cool. You think it's cool to be sent out. Check this out. In Luke's gospel, because Luke's very nice and organized, and so he likes to give us all the details. Luke says, they went out. This is chapter 9. This is with the 12. So they set out. Luke 9, verse 6. This is when the 12 are sent out. He says, they set out and they went from village to village proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. When they went out and just did what they saw, God moved in power. Yeah? When he sends out the 72, verse 17 of Luke chapter 10, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. See, when Jesus sends us, if we just go do as we see, he shows up. He shows up. See, the key phrase in all of this, what gives you the ability to do what Jesus asks is that it's his authority. When he called the 12, he said, I give you authority and power to go out and do these things. When he calls the 72 and sends them, he says, I have given you the power to walk this out. There's a pattern developing here. What do you think he wants to do with you and I? He wants to give us the power. In John chapter 14, 12 through 14, Jesus says this. He says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, not in yourself, not in how holy you are, not in how good you are at following Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And listen to this. Jesus is crazy for saying this stuff. I mean, he's just crazy. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, let's not be ridiculous. Jesus is not talking about our selfish wants and desires and our pleasures and what we think we should be doing. Jesus has already trained us and equipped us to pray, not my will, but your will be done. Yeah? So when we go out in the will of the Father, doing the work of the Father, living for his glory alone and not for our own, Jesus says, hey, when you go out, I'm telling you right now, people, if you believe in me, you'll do greater things than me. And the Father will do whatever you ask in my name. Now, either Jesus is a liar, and if he is, he's not worthy of being trusted or following, or Jesus is actually telling us the truth. And that's crazy.
Yes.
So I think this leads us to this question. When we feel led as we're going throughout our normal day and we have opportunity to proclaim the gospel or to teach people about Jesus or to lay our hands on the sick, I know in my life the most common question has been more along the lines of, why would I do that? When I think the question I should be asking is, why wouldn't he do it? Why wouldn't he do it? If I'm willing and I believe in him and I understand that he's given me power and authority to do so, why wouldn't he do it if I asked? Because he said he would. It just takes a little faith. Yeah? Jesus tells us that we're going to do these things. But Jesus has a message for us. In Luke 24, verses 46 through 49, again, we've seen the model of what it looks like to be on mission with Jesus. And the big part of that is we got to be willing to go, but we got to go in his authority and in his power. In Luke 24, 46 through 49, Jesus says this, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Again, the gospel needs to go global. And he tells his guys who are there with him, he says, you are witnesses to these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. See, when Jesus sent the 12, it would have been foolish for them to go when Jesus said, hey, here's what you're going to do, but he hadn't given them the authority or power to do so. That would have been disastrous. When Jesus calls the 72 and he says, here's what you're going to do, it would have been disastrous for them to go before he gave them the authority and power to do so. Jesus is now going to ascend to the Father. He's not physically going to be in the earth anymore. And he says, but the mission hasn't changed. We still got to go global with this thing. But by all means, don't go anywhere and don't do anything until the power comes. Right? What does that look like? We go to Acts chapter 1. Jesus, this is after his resurrection, he appears to his disciples again who have been waiting for him, and he gives them this instruction. Verse 4 and 5, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. What's happening? The same thing that we've already seen modeled, but on a scale that incorporates everyone and not just a few. Amen. We're all brought in. Wow. It's incredible. Now, I know you're probably in the pew going, I don't know about all this. Neither do I. Neither do I. Can I share something with you? I've learned over the years that I have a role in the kingdom of God. I've got a role in the body. And there were some times I tried to operate outside of my role. I've shared it before. I used to do a lot of street witnessing. I was not good at it. I just got cussed out every time. Nobody got saved. And I met one really old lady. The old ladies are always the best because they're so sweet and they just pity you. And she didn't need anything, but she was like, please pray for like my back, you know, just my, and I was like, all right, somebody finally, you know, that's not my role. And yet I'm still called that as I go through my day to day to be sensitive to the Spirit. What I've discovered is when I'm intentional trying to go out and witness to people on the streets, it doesn't go very well. But in my life, when I just walk in submission to the Spirit, he will open doors if I'm listening. He'll open doors if I'm listening. And those have always been successful. Every time. Not that something amazing happened each time or that people got saved, but like God showed up. Some of you are called to that evangelistic type role where you're supposed to be out in the streets. That's where it'll work for you. Right? We have to find our role. But a lot of this really, church, just looks like simple obedience to just the everyday. Lord, wherever you send me, whatever you have for me today, I offer my life to you. In a moment of transparency, I just want to be transparent with all of you. And I promise you, I'm not saying this so that people come up to me and be like, you're good. Don't do that. That's nonsense. I just want to be honest. Most of the time, I feel very inadequate for what God has called me to do. Very insecure. Insecure is not the right word. I would say I have a very sober view of myself, and that's that I'm really not good at what I do. Here's what the Lord has spoke to me, and I want to speak it over you because I think that many of you may feel the same way. Is that A, my confidence isn't in what I'm capable of, it's what he's capable of. And B, the Lord really ministered to this to me, and I just really felt I was not planning on this. It's not in my notes. But I felt as I was coming out and just praying, the Lord told me to share this with you. The need in the world for workers to be sent out is great. Amen? You guys agree? Yeah? It's a huge need. There was a time in the Bible where Jesus is looking at a massive crowd because guess what? He's been doing miracles and preaching the gospel and a crowd's been drawn. According to estimates, we know that there were at least 5,000 men there. And when they add in the women and children who would have been present, they estimate the crowd to be at least 20,000 or more, right? And the disciples look at Jesus as he's been ministering all day, and they're like, Jesus, these people are probably hungry. Just like, yeah, why don't you guys feed them? And they're like, how are we supposed to do that? Look at the size of this crowd. What could we do? How could we ever meet this need? And then God, because he's awesome, you know, just so happens that a little child comes up to Jesus. He says, I don't have much, but you know what I do have? I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, if you're like me, you're looking at that going, well, great, Jesus can eat. And maybe his 2 favorite people. There's 20,000 people here, kid. What'd you even bring that to the table for? That's an insult to the need. It's ridiculous that you would even bring that up. We need somebody with real, like, sustenance, real provision, right? Real means. Jesus takes those 5 loaves and 2 fish and he goes, watch this. Look what I can do with very little, even in the midst of great need. And he lifts it up to the Father and he gives thanks for it and he blesses it. And then he's like, all right, you 12 who didn't know what to do, why don't you start giving it away to people? Now, I don't know how this happened. I would love to know how this happened. But all we know is that as they went and they started distributing, it was just there. It just kept coming. You know, it makes me think of a verse in I think it's 2 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul says, God will give seed to the sower so that they can abound unto every good work. See, I don't think it's what we have to bring to the table that really matters. I think it's our willingness to just bring it. Yes. And to say, Lord, I really don't have much. But if you can use this, I'll give it. Yeah. I'll give it to you. Yeah. Would you guys stand to your feet with me? I just want to give us a moment to just meet with Jesus. And I know that last week, I know that we prayed over people and we anointed them, and that's that power that we're talking about. But what I really feel the Lord speaking today over us is that some of us need to get over it and be willing to bring the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the Lord and say, it's not much, but you can use it. I don't have great eloquence when I talk. I stutter over myself. I'm super nervous. I'm actually really embarrassed. I'm shy to do this. But if you can take my shyness and use it, I'll bring it to the table. Lord, I feel like a failure. Like I struggle to really live faithfully for you. And I've got this thing in my life that I just keep getting tripped up by. I'm not sure that you can use me. And the Lord says, well, how about we try not focusing so much on where you're falling short and maybe focus a little more on where I'm really awesome. Maybe what you're doing is focusing so much on how you're unqualified. You're missing out on how I say I'll qualify you. Like just maybe walk in step with the Spirit a little more and you won't walk in step with the sin anymore. To just come in all of your humanity and say, God, I don't feel like I can do this. This scares me to think that you want me to go and pray for my coworker, or to talk about Jesus with them, or to share the good news of your eternal kingdom that Jesus inaugurated and that you want to bring more and more into this world. That scares me. I'm not sure I know what to do. And Jesus is like, hey, I got good news for you. I'll give you power from the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He'll teach you what to say. Right. You really can do this because I'll never leave you or forsake you. I just really feel like the Lord's putting it on my heart that some of you, like your heart burns. It longs to be used by God.
Yes. That's right.
And to be a part of God's great work. Like you read what Jesus did and your heart is full of faith and you're like, oh Jesus, if you could use me to do that, I would do it, but I'm so not the kind of person you want to use. And Paul says, hey, you know what? God loves to choose the foolish things to shame the wise. I'm just not a strong person. I don't know that I can. God loves to choose the weak things to shame the strong. I'm not very intelligent. I don't know that I know it. God loves to use the intelligible things to shame the wise. That's just what he does. Why? Because it's about him. You know how much glory he'll receive when someone who knows they've got no business doing it just saw it and said, he said, I can do it. So let me just go do what I see him doing. He gets all the glory. That's what it's about, man. I just wonder today, if there's anybody here, I just want to, and the prayer team can come down. This is what I want us to be praying for more than anything, is for people whose hearts long to be used by God like this, to be a part of the Great Commission, who long to see God work in them in power. That man, when you're out there and you lay hands on the sick, that they actually recover. Not because of you, but because you're walking in the authority and the power of God, and you've been led by His Spirit. And so you just go, okay, Jesus, this doesn't feel like I got this, but okay. Boom, and you do it, and then you come back with miracle testimonies.
Right.
Can I share? I just want to share one more story with you to encourage you. Because sometimes success looks a lot like failure. There was a time when I felt led, and some of you were here for this. I know the Duncans were, they'll testify to this. I just felt led to do this event in like the Shawnee area. And so we rented out the Shawnee auditorium in their school. We took a bunch of kids, Lincoln's right here. You went with me. Remember we like went through the neighborhoods and we were hanging door hangers, invite Madison did it. Yeah. And we like went and we were praying and believing God. We like did all the stuff. The youth worship team went and led worship. We had a message. We were believing God. A bunch of people were going to show up and we were going to preach Jesus and see a bunch of people get healed. And literally the only three people showed up was the employee of the school that had to be there to run the sound system and the two kids that were his assistants. The only people that showed up other than the youth worship team and some of their parents. And the kids, some of them were like, are we still going to do this? And I said, well, do we believe God led us here? Yeah, we do. All right, then we're doing it. Doesn't matter who's here. We're going to be faithful to what God asked us to do. And so they played their hearts out. Man, I was so proud. Their parents were worshiping with everything too. They were supportive. And I preached. And at the end of that, I'm thinking, well, this was a waste of time. But I prayed and I said, God, whatever you want to do, I don't understand this. I really believed we were going to come and it was going to get packed out. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And it was about a lady who'd been diagnosed with something and that nobody knew it had happened. And I kid you not, church, this is honest to God's truth. That dude all the way up in the balcony who was running the sound system, who I literally could not see because it was so dark up there, I'm going, well, this was the dumbest thing ever. Why did I even do this? And sure enough, that dude comes buzzing down the front. He walks right up to me and he goes, how did you know that? I said, what are you talking about, man? I was like shocked. I didn't think it was him. And he goes, my wife and I just went to the doctor and the doctors don't even know what's wrong with her. All they've noticed, all they can tell us is there's a problem, but they can't even identify it. How did you know that? Only God, brother. And so we prayed for him. You guys want to know what happened next? About 2 weeks later, I get a text from this dude. They went back to the doctor. You guys want to guess? What was the report from the doctor? Nothing wrong, baby. Totally good. Totally good. That's not a story to brag on me. That's a story to brag on God. He sent your youth worship team, their faithful parents, and me, feeling like an idiot, to go preach at this school. By the way, we spent money on that too. Quite a bit, actually. For that dude, for that dude, he's just asking for obedience. And we never did one of those things again, because that was it. We were out, like no more. God will take whatever we give. That's all I want you to know. He'll take whatever you give, church. So I'm gonna ask the band to just worship for a minute. If you're here today and your heart burns to just see God use you like that, you caught it and you're like, God, I wanna be a part of this mission. I want to be one of the ones out there on the field doing the work and seeing a harvest, but I feel like I'm not enough. I want to come and just surrender that not enoughness to you today. And I want somebody to join in faith with me that this week, listen to me, this week, I'll be sensitive to your leading and I'll walk in obedience and I'll ask and I'll believe that if I'll ask in your name, you'll do it. You'll do it. If that's you, please come down right now. They're just going to pray for you for a few moments. Everybody else, just worship with us for a minute. Come to the prayer team. The prayer team will pray with you guys.
Burn light. things. I just want to also give a quick testimony of what happened Friday with myself. I was doing a little painting job, and I was painting some front doors of some apartment complexes. And I go to the sixth door, and I knock on the door, and I told the lady, I said, "Hi," I said, "it's paint time, front door." And she said, "Okay, come on in." Well, I noticed that she had had about a 50-foot thing of oxygen running through her nose, and she's walking around her apartment. And so I was like, "Lord, what am I supposed to say here? Because I'm going to say something. You know, help me be an effective witness and give me some boldness and power like we prayed over you all last week." And I just waited. I started painting the door. I just started asking a question. I said, "So how long have you been here?" She said, 4 months. And I said, "Well, what are you doing?" And she had a bunch of pictures scattered on her couch. And she said, "Well, I'm going through the pictures for my kids because I'm going to die." I was shocked. I said, "Oh, okay." She said, "Well, maybe not today, but the doctor says that the lung cancer has come back. And 2 years ago, it was here as well." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, you know," I said, "unfortunately, our bodies wear out." I didn't know where her faith was. I didn't know what she believed, if she believed in anything. And I said, "You know, unfortunately, our bodies wear out." I said, "But where we go is more important than what's happening here." And she said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "So eternity is forever." And she said, "Yes, it is." And I said, "We got to make sure that we know Jesus so our eternity can be good." And she said, "Yes, amen." So that told me where she was. But and I got a witness to her a little bit and things of that nature, and got to talk to her, and it was a great conversation. But if I would have been afraid to even say anything, to even open a door, and sometimes when we're sitting maybe at a restaurant or when we're with our coworker, it's not that we need to automatically just go and say something, but ask God. "God, what am I supposed to say?" Just wait on Him, and He'll open that door for you, because He knows you, He knows your personality, and He knows what you can do by faith. And so by faith, I opened the door, and thank God I found out that she was saved, and that when she does die, she is going to heaven, praise God. But if I had not done that, I may not have known, and she could have been lost forever. So just again, what Pastor Tim said, we are on a mission. And I thank God that, like last week, He have given you boldness, He's given you power, and you are an effective witness everywhere you go and whatever you do. And we are all on a mission. We all have a job. And again, just ask God to help you, and He will. Amen? Amen. Pastor Tim.
I feel the Lord wants to minister to at least one more person. Is there a Sarah here today? Sarah, if your name's Sarah, please come down front. Yeah. All the Sarahs, just all of you. I'm working this out as we go here. So all the Sarahs. Yeah, come right down here so I distinguish you. Oh man. Praise God. Amen. Look at the little baby. Amen. Just give me a second. I gotta let it process here. Jesus. All right, so fair warning, I could totally miss this.
Thank you, Jesus.
And if I do, just we're going to all act like this never happened, all right? So, I feel the Lord speaking to me that I'm not trying to be abstract, but I feel the Lord speaking, there's a different area in each one of your lives, that there's a very specific need, like one that you've been seeking the Lord about. If I'm missing this, just again, ignore it afterwards, but I feel like there's a very specific need, and that maybe, just maybe, you've been kind of seeking it for a while, and you've kind of gotten to the place where you're like, maybe it's just better to just sweep that under the rug and just kind of hold that there instead of really like pressing into the Lord. But what I see, I literally saw this in prayer this morning before service. I saw Sarah's, but then I saw Mary's. And not Mary's in the church, but Mary's who were willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and just adore him, you know? Just be caught up in his goodness and just like, I just want to be there. And I feel the Lord speaking that like you're entering a Mary moment where like he's ready. Like there's, he's always at his work, you know? It's not like he's waiting. He's not a cruel father who's teasing us with good things. Right. But there's a process. There's a process. And I just really feel like the Lord's saying, if you'll put yourself in that Mary spot where you're just like, I just want to adore you. I'm not here for anything right now. Yeah. Even though I have this need, I'm not here for the need. I'm just here because I want to adore you. I want to adore you. And I just feel like the Lord's saying, like, that's what he's trying to draw you into. And then when you get to that spot, it's like you're going to see that goodness just birth into your life. And again, I feel like it's very different in each one of your lives. I just really feel, and I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, just take the good stuff and leave the bad stuff, but I feel like the Lord's speaking over you that there's like a wound from your past that's more of a heart. It's not like a physical heart issue. It's like a emotional, like there was something that happened that you've been carrying, and it's just been gnawing away a little bit. Does that make sense? Is this kind of anywhere? All right, well, I feel like the Lord is saying to you that if you'll just meet him in that place of just adoration, just sit at his feet and just say, I'm not here for anything. I just want you, Jesus, that whatever that thing is, he's going to draw it out and bring healing and reconciliation to that area. So if that, take that for what it is. Maybe you're taking that and you're going, well, that might apply to this, but not really that. Then go that route with it. And I just missed the first part. All right, does that make sense? All right, very good. Sarah, I feel the Lord speaking over you, provision, provision. That just sit in that place of adoration, acknowledging, you're the God that provides, man. You provide every need. He's doing it. He's making ways for you. He's not the type of father that's going to sit there and be like, yeah, I see you suffering and I don't really care, you know? He's going to, but sit in that place of adoration. Sarah, I just feel the Lord speaking over you like actual physical healing. And I'm not sure, I don't know anything, but I just feel that that's what the Lord's speaking, maybe more over your family than just you. I'm not really sure, but you take that. Just getting that adoration, just that awe and wonder of, man, he's a healer. He's a healer. And just catch yourself in that place. All right? Sarah, this is easy because you're all Sarahs. This works really. I don't have to remember your names. So good. I'm going to come back to you. That'll work. Obviously, I know a little bit because we've had some conversations, and I know that you have a very strong heart, right, for one specific thing. It can be a heavy burden to bear, and you can walk with a lot of people. And I really feel like what the Lord's speaking over you, and again, I could miss this, it's fine, you got to judge it yourself. But I feel like what the Lord's speaking over you is that as you learn to sit in that Mary place of adoration, that you'll be able to bring healing to other ladies through teaching them how to adore just the awesomeness of God. To find that place where we just, it's who he is. He really is that good. And you just lead people to that place and watch God bring healing through that. Does that make sense? That's what I feel in my heart for you. I can't shake this. Now, this is weird because I know that you come from a ministry family, and I would guess, if I had to guess, you'd be like, I want no part of that. Is that right? Or would you be open to it if the Lord called you to like?
To ministry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I was feeling. But what I feel is that your heart does long. You work in the medical field. That's not a word from God. She told me that at the blood drive. But I feel like the Lord's saying, like, you'd be really open to patients coming in and like you just laying hands on them, and they just, like, that'd be pretty dope. And you've even prayed before. Lord, if you do that, I'd do that. I'd lay my hands on them and see that happen. Every night? How often do you see the miracles happen?
I don't ever get to meet them again.
That's unfortunate.
I only get a piece of the story.
I don't know how to fix that. I just Pastor Randy, you do this overseas all the time. Will you come over? I just feel like the Lord's saying, I just really believe the Lord's about to just touch you with a new power.
Amen. Yes.
That miracle is going to take place. And you're going to know it. So it's not going to be after they leave and you're going to go, I don't know if it worked. It'll be like in the moment, you're going to start seeing. And I'm not saying every time, but I'm saying there's going to become a consistency to you lay hands on people and you're going to pray over them and God's going to raise them up and it'll be good. So
it's a gift. We're going to talk on them on Wednesday night.
There you go.
Nine gifts.
There you go.
Okay, we're going
just
to
lay hands on her. I'll be with you. Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for the gift, Lord God, that you've given her, Father. Oh. Her hands, Lord God. And I thank you, Father, we're anointing her now in the name of Jesus, God, that as she takes that step of faith,
yes, Lord,
you will do what you will do, God.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Father, that she will see people healed, set free, and delivered, Lord God, as she takes that step of faith, Lord,
yes,
God.
Father.
And miracles will follow. Lord, in Jesus' name, we call it done right now. We thank you for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, Father, I just pray, Father, that you would have your way, that, Father, you would confirm and seal these words in their hearts. Father, anything that was not of you, Father, we pray that they would just dismiss it. But, God, what was of you, Father, I pray that you would just seal it in their hearts, Father, and bring it to pass in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, look at your neighbor and say, see do. All right, next Sunday, we got Joe McGee in the house. It's going to be an incredible service. If you've never seen Joe McGee, he incorporates a lot of humor into his messages. It's just such good stuff. So if you have somebody that you've been wanting to invite to church and you haven't done it yet, I promise you, Joe is one of the funniest guys you'll hear preach. Invite them. They'll have a good time. But we'll see you guys Wednesday night. Be blessed. We love you.